I want to say again, I mentioned Sunday, congratulations to Jack and Judy Dollar on their anniversary. They celebrated Sunday. I know the Robinsons are on their anniversary tonight also. Dale and Diane, they're celebrating an anniversary. Of course, some of our folks are out of town tonight. Brother Mark and them are with their families. A lot of our families have went out of town, but we're glad you're here. It's a good crowd for Wednesday night, especially night before Thanksgiving. This is a great crowd. So, boy, I've missed Brother Kativer. He was out of town for a couple. I really missed him. I ain't kidding you. I mean, my heart missed you a lot. I'm so glad to see you. Rose said you came by the other day, and I was sorry I missed you, but I'm glad you're back. And glad to see Mrs. Cochran here. Good. God bless you. Glad she's here. Philippians chapter 4. Good to see each one of you. Boy, it's great. You know what's really great about these? The kids come home on the holidays, Mel, and I get to see all the kids that were away, and the kids in college, and those are kids that are out of college, but they live out of town. Just great to see all them. Then some of the preachers are in today with their kids. And I'll tell you, I think we need to make a thing, Brother Billy, in the future. I've got a lot of preachers here, but from now on, if they leave, they got to leave their kids here with me. I can't stand losing my kids, you know. I love my kids, and don't want to lose a preacher either, for that matter, but we love those kids, I'll tell you that. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Johnny, tonight, just the caption would be, thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God. And boy, that was exciting last week, wasn't it? We had a great day here Sunday. I'll tell you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Look what the scripture says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not just once in a while. Always. By the way, sometimes that's hard to do, though, isn't it? And again, I say, rejoice. Number of witness. Then look, in other words, hey, Christians, you got a lot to be happy about. I don't care how cloudy, how gray it is outside. I don't care you've got a bright future. Look at your verse 5. Because you've got such a great future, let your moderation be known unto all men. Hey, man, let them know. Hey, I'm on my way to heaven. Lady asked me the other day in the hospital, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. How about you? I get on the elevator and I say, which way are you going, up or down? I said, I'm going up when Jesus comes. Amen? They look at me, hey, I don't know if I want to get on this elevator with that guy. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He really is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. But in everything. Did you get that? But in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And if you do all these things, if you do from 4 down to verse 7, and the peace of God, that's how you get the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We live in some troublesome times, some stressful times. But I'm going to tell you, look up here, Christians. We have a place of refuge. We can have peace in the midst of a storm if we just go to that place, that safe harbor. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for loving us. Lord, it's beyond me how you could love me, but you do. And Lord, I just want to praise you, and I want to thank you for all that are here tonight. Lord, thank you for my preachers and our missionaries and evangelists that are here. And I thank you for my members. I thank you for the kids that are out of town that are here tonight with me. And Lord, I just thank you for every senior citizen, every person, from the littlest to the oldest. Lord, just bless each one, I pray, and give us a great time, and be with Alicia McDaniel. I pray, Father, you'll help heal those feet up from the surgery now. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And truly it is going to be Thanksgiving, isn't it? There are going to be Thanksgiving parades, and you'll see a big big turkey going down the parade, and at the end they usually bring Santa Claus there too, and there'll be football games. Now Detroit Lions played the other day, so I don't know. Usually they play on. Are they going to play again on Thursday? Well, they're going to be really bad then, aren't they? Wow. And they're not playing Cleveland, so they probably won't be able to win. So whoever they're going to play, they'll be losing to them. But there'll be football games. And, of course, every year, annual Bethel Baptist Turkey Bowl, the guys and the teenagers will be playing their annual football game. And where is that game at, David? Is that down in Carlin? Carlin at 10 o'clock. And so the older guys and the kids and the younger ones take on the older ones. And what do you do, preacher? I stand and drink coffee. I don't get in at all, you know. And I think Eddie still shows up once in a while. You still go there, Eddie? Man, I'll tell you, amen. God bless you, buddy. They have a great time. And then it seems like the old guys always beat the kids. I don't know why. But the kids, some reason, don't. But I hear Austin says today, Austin was telling David, Dad, something tells me the kids are going to win them. So I'll tell you, let's go. I hope the kids win. And go kids. But we'll have our regular turkey bowl tomorrow. And then after that, everybody will go back to their homes. And I got thinking, Brother Bobby, most of the families, not all, but most families, the majority of the families in America, they'll sit down and they'll sit down to a dinner, turkey dinner or some kind of a dinner, and they'll have a dinner. They'll have something to eat. Just having something to eat is precious. I know after they eat, I know what the girls are doing already. They're getting those newspapers that came out today, their papers, and they're doing those ads for the after Thanksgiving sale. My lands, me and Rosie were listening to the radio today, Ruthie. I think one of the stores is going to start at 12 midnight. And some start at 4 o'clock in the morning. Some start at 5 o'clock in the morning. And they'll be going, and they're planning. Right now, they're going through those papers, and they're getting a strategy plan, Bobby. I mean, we're going to go to Kohl's at this time. We're going to hit Walmart at this time. We're going to hit, and they got it all figured out. They're figuring out, and the wife says, now, I'm going to run to this area where I can buy this. You run to this area. And, man, they're getting, just like a football game, they're getting a strategy. They're getting they're putting their game faces on, Katie, and they're getting their gameplay. Now let me tell you one thing. I don't care what time you go, and I don't care what store you go, you will not see this preacher there. I promise you. I'll be home drinking coffee and probably eating some cookies or something, but I will not be in them stores. I went one time in my life. I went, one year the girls talked me, and man, I went, John, I actually went to one of those things. Man, I got there at Walmart at 4 o'clock or 3, whatever time it was in the morning. It was in the dark. It was like, I mean, I'd do it for duck hunting and turkey hunting and deer hunting, something that's worthwhile. But man, I'm out there, Brother Jack, and boy, the cars are all packed. And so we finally, they open the doors, and man, people rush through, and they're running through, they're pushing, get out of my way, kid. Forget this, I was back there, and I was looking at something for the kids for Christmas, one of the grandkids. And I was just looking at it, Deb. I mean, I wasn't taking it into my, I was just looking, and these two women came, and I said, how dare you, how dare you, that's mine. I don't fear hardly any men at all. But let me tell you men something. Don't mess with them women. And I said, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to look at it. They said, we waited all night long and we're getting it. And it's the last one. I said, it's yours. And they kept yelling. I said, it's yours. I'm not going to buy it. Here, I'll buy it for you. Get out of here. No, I didn't pay for it. And I went home and I told Rosie, I said, it's crazy. And that's the one time and the only time. It's been about 8 years ago. And you guys can have a blast doing that. I'll tell you right now, that's not for me. Amen? But Betty, even the kids, they're already getting, man, they said, Dad, where's the paper? They're getting them lined up, all those Thanksgiving sales they have in there. And man, they're getting ready. It's like the big Super Bowl. It's the World Series. It's the biggest game. It's the biggest game of the season tomorrow. What's going on at Sears and Roebuck? Amen. Blue light specials where they are. Anyways, tomorrow's going to be a big day, in a lot of ways. But tomorrow, in the midst of all the fun, in the midst of all we're doing, in the midst of the buying and the selling and the playing football, and the eating the turkeys, and we went and bought one of them real expensive hams out there at Chapel Hill. What's the name of that place? Honey Baked Ham. There's a family in our church that gets me one all the time. So I went out and got, man, those things are really good. But boy, they're expensive. Wow. Oh, that mackerel. I couldn't believe what they, I said, that much for that little bit of a ham? They said, yeah, they're worth it. I said, okay, here you go. So I'm going to enjoy that ham tomorrow, Brother Bob. And we ain't throwing none of it away, I guarantee you. We're going to take it down to the bone. Let me tell you something, though. In the midst of the pumpkin pie and the turkey and the apple pie and the dressing and the cranberries and the yams and, you know, all those calories and all those things we're saying, we'll get, wait till next year, we're going to take the weight off. How many know what I'm talking about? Let's take a few minutes by ourselves tomorrow. Let's try to get away for a few moments by ourselves. And maybe a few minutes with our families. And let's really thank God. Amen? Amen? You know, I noted this, Brother Bobby. All Americans should be thankful to God for the country and the blessing that they've been bestowed. America, it's a blessing to live in America. I mean, every person in America is blessed by the Almighty just by being born in America. You know, I don't care what anybody says, we still got the greatest country in the world. Amen. I was reading your poem the other day, Bill. She still flies. I love the American flag. I love the stars and the stripes. I love our country. And you know what? God has blessed America, folks. Just being in America, we're blessed. We don't realize how blessed we really are. Art Carpio might be here tomorrow, one of our Filipino friends. I'm not sure if Brother Art's going to get here or not. We told him to come. We asked him to spend Thanksgiving with us. I know he was in another church somewhere. I think they're going to try to come down and be with us. I'm not sure if they're going to make it. But you ought to talk to some of these folks that live in other countries. When they live on rice for their main meal every day, three meals a day they eat rice. $30, they buy huge bags of rice and that's what they live on for the whole month. Hello? Anybody still with me? They walked in, David and Tammy were fortunate years ago, they bought a beautiful bedroom outfit from out there, I think in Route 91, is it called Imperial Wayside, or where do you buy your furniture? What's it called, Jamie? Wayside, yeah. And they bought a beautiful outfit there, and Art saw that big, beautiful bedroom with a big post and everything. He said, oh, wow, that's made for a king. Because, see, they're not used to something like that. We take everything for granted. Running water, electric lights, homes that have got heat. Hello? By the way, I'm not. If we went and talked about third world countries, I mean countries that really have nothing. I mean nothing. I mean, the Filipinos are in poverty, but they're even better off than a lot of other countries. We as Americans need to stop sometime and think, wow, it's easy to get caught up in it. Thank God for our soldiers here that protect us and watch over us so we can have these freedoms. We can live in this country. Thank God for the founding fathers of our country. This country, the reason the country's went bad, it's still the greatest country in the world. It was founded on the Bible. That's why the greatness of our country doesn't come from America. The greatness from our country comes from God. And we just need to get God back in it. Amen? But we're blessed. We are so blessed to live in America. We are so much fortunate than people that think about our standard way of living. Most people have an automobile. Some have two or three. I went and visited one of our families the other day. I went and visited three families. One family, I saw four or five cars in the driveway. We're blessed. Hello? And even our poorest are at the high standard of someone over in the third world countries. Are you with me? Think about the food and the housing and the utilities. Just think about our roads. Brother Billy Turner and Amber and them, they went to the Philippines. They'll tell you about how it's like to be in the Philippines. Some of those roads, they're not like I-76. I mean, we complain about our roads here. Some of those people don't even have roads. And if they do, they're just a little dirt road. We take a lot of things for granted in America. We need to stop and think, dear God, we're really blessed. Amen? I think it's good that we have Thanksgiving sometimes just to make a stop for a few minutes in our busy, rushing time that we have. Our lives are so full, rush, 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 here, here, here. And we never stop and think, boy, we need to just take a few minutes and say, you know what, God? Thanks for letting me be here. Amen? We need to stop and count our many blessings. You know, I mentioned how every American needs to thank God. But you know what? We need to, as Christians, we need to stop. And we have more to thank God than the average American. I mean, we really got something to thank God for. We need to thank Him for stopping counting for our families. When's the last time you told your family you loved them? Wouldn't be a bad time to do it tonight. When's the last, hey fellas, when's the last time you told your wife you loved her? Well, she knows I love her, preacher. I married her 20 years ago. How much do I got to tell her? When's the last time you grabbed that kid of yours and said, boy, I'm glad you're my son or my daughter, and I love you, I'm proud of you. We ought to be thankful for our church families.
Amen.
Yeah, I think some of you would really understand what I'm saying. I still have one brother that's still alive and one sister. Both my mom and dad have passed, my grandma and grandparents, and both sides are gone. My sister's gone. Older sister, my brother-in-law. But you know, even growing up when I was younger, I love my family off the chart. Don't misunderstand me. But my church family is probably closer to me than my real family. Because I spend my life with the church family. Did you ever notice that? And not only do we need to be thankful for our personal families, but for our church families. We all thank God for the people in our church. And we all thank God for the homes that we have, a house, we have a roof over our head. We're not on the street. And there's tomorrow, Brother Billy, I'm going to be able to feed me and my whole family. I don't have to worry about my family being hungry tomorrow. You know, we take those things for granted. Hello? The provisions and our just living in our country. I said every American ought to be thankful to God for many blessings, but even more so, every Christian should be so much more thankful because of not just America, and not just because of what we have, but because of what Christ has done for us. You ever think about what he's done for you? What he's doing now. What he has done in the past, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do in the future? Think about that, amen? Think with me, and I'm almost done. This world, look up here, kids. This world is on the brink of destruction. The world knows there's something really going wrong, but they and they're inside, they're saying, man, I'm scared. I don't know what it is. It's on the brink of destruction. Because this world's heading what we call the seven-year tribulation, when Christ calls the saints out. Debbie, they're on the brink of destruction. We're on the blink of a twinkling eye, of an eye for everlasting glory. Think about that, D. One day you're going to be flipping one of them Big Macs. Next thing, man, you're gone. Amen? Think about that. Can you imagine no more Big Macs? No more quarter pound cheese. But until then, we're going to quarter pound it all the way. Think with me, though. I want you to look at two scriptures with me. And I'll close. Think what Christ has done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. By the way, 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trump." 2 Corinthians 8, 9. I was quoting 15:51. I can't wait. They're on the brink of destruction. And Judy, we're on the blink of glory. Brother Jack, we ought to be snapping our... Yeah, how many ever seen these people? They used to have commercials on. People gave up smoking. Says, I kicked the habit. We ought to be clicking our heels all the time because we're going up to heaven. Man, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the undertaker. That's the truth. Brother Kativer, do you know this kid's 39 years old? 38? He looks like he's 25. I swear you're half Filipino. Because all the Filipinos look 10 years younger than what they are. You ain't going to have to worry ever getting old. Now, the old people know what I'm talking about. You don't have to worry about taking blood pressure pills and heart trouble and eye trouble and all kinds of trouble. Because you guys are young enough, you won't have to worry because you're going to get brand new glorified Jordan there. Man, I'm doing good. Of course, he's losing his hair pretty quick, but full hair when you get to heaven. Look up here. But the older, Billy knows what I'm talking about. Boy, I can't wait to get a brand new body.
Amen.
I can't wait to have a body when I don't, like I told Brother Philly, I told Brother Wade, I said, he had a football ticket for me. I said, I passed. I said, my legs hurt me so bad at bursitis. I said, I don't think I can run them down through the stadium. I said, give my ticket away. But one day, Brother Rod, we ain't going to have no problem. I'll be able to run like those kids are going to do tomorrow.
Amen.
See, you want to know how... You young kids, you want to know how you're gonna feel if the Lord don't come back after that football game? You get, oh man, Mom, oh, that's how Grandpa feels all the time, Aust. Without playing football. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich,
amen.
Do you ever think about Jesus? He's a good thing to think about, ain't he? Think about what Jesus left when he came down to earth. He came down to earth to be mocked and to be crucified and to be whipped and to be scourged and to be made fun of and to be spit upon. When he was up there, Brother Mike, there was no time, it's all eternity. But constantly, there were angels and angels and angels just saying, worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy to the Lamb. He was adored in heaven.
Amen.
He's scourged here. He had the riches of heaven and the glory of heaven. And he gave all that up and came down for you, me, Arlene. Can you believe that? He gave up his glory and came down in the fashion of a man so man could kill him. Although, by the way, man didn't kill him. No man could kill him. He took his own life. He said, I lay my life down. No one take it from me. I lay it down. I take it up freely. Aren't you glad he had the power to take it up? When Jesus died, he said, it's finished. Jesus determined when he was going to take his last breath. Not those Roman soldiers. Amen? Brother Jack, look at that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes. Boy, you want to be thankful? Here's a verse to think about. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Brother Coolidge, when he hung on that cross, they sing songs, I should have been there. I should have suffered and died. But see, if I would have did it, I couldn't have done it because I couldn't forgive anyone's sins. I got sins of my own. It had to be Christ. He's the only one who could die for us. That's how much. See, no one could go for us but him. And he loved us that much. Aren't you glad he loved you? Yet for your sakes, he became poor. Though yet, that he through his poverty might be rich. There's a song, Shake Hands with a Poor Boy Who Owns Everything. Shake hands with the poor boy, and how do you do? How many of you ever heard that? How many of you have never heard that? That's what I thought. You just heard it. I won't kill you with it. There's a lot of great songs sung about what Christ did for us. I'm no longer a poor boy. I'm a child of God. Join heir with Christ. You realize what God did for you and I? Man, if I was homeless, didn't have nothing to eat, didn't have nowhere to stay, knowing that I'm a child of God, that alone would be something to be thankful for. Because you know what, folks? I'm just passing through this life. Eternity's where I'm going. How about you? Number one, we ought to be thankful for what Jesus did for us. Number two, we don't have time, but Hebrews 7:25 says that he not only did he do things for us in the past, but he's doing things right now in the present. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, he's our great high priest, and he's ever making intercession for us. Aren't you glad he's at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for you and I? Aren't you glad you got someone there to constantly watch over you and to take your place for you? Amen? Amen. And then lastly, look what he's going to do in the future. Not only what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, dying for you and raising that third day, shedding his blood, forgiving all your sins, taking all your sins in him and being the sacrifice for you and I. But then look what he's going to give us. I'm going to close. Look at that 1 Corinthians 2:9. Oh, I'll tell you, we got so much to be thankful for. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Bible says, but as it's written, I'm glad God wrote us a Bible. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Eddie, that Bible's telling you something that's unbelievable. It says, Eddie White, God loves you so much and God's got something so great in heaven for you. You can't even imagine how great it is. How many of you talk like little kids sometimes? They have a little imagination. They make up. God says, Bobby, go ahead and think as great as you can about heaven. you can't even touch the surface. Heaven is so great, Katie, it's beyond our mind to comprehend it. They don't make a computer, Brother Rod, great enough to comprehend heaven. That's what we got, Christians. That's what we got, something so great. We can't even describe it. We can't even embrace it. It's too big for us to know, understand. Woohoo! Yabba dabba doo! And Bobby, we got a whole eternity, all forever and ever, to enjoy the splendors and the glory of God. If you can't be thankful about that, you better check your salvation. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. That's the greatest gift of all. I could thank God for my wife and my children. I can go for you. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing we have of all is our salvation through Christ. Jesus, I'll close with this verse. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." For you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Yeah, me? Yeah, you. Me? Yeah, you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. He's gone. He's coming back. He's preparing it. And he tells me his word, Billy. It's so, what he's preparing is so great. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, I can't even grab hold of how great it is. Wow. My little Tippy Brooks, she can imagine stuff. And the little Tippy can't even imagine it. That's pretty big. You know what, tonight, are you a child of God? Boy, be thankful. You've got a lot to be thankful for. If you're not a child of God, you could be a child of God right now just by asking the Lord to come in your heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done and are doing and what you're going to do. Thank you for letting us live in the greatest country in the world. And Father, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that they will. And if there's any Christians discouraged, I pray you'll lift up their heart. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, how many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've got that eternal gift. I've got the glory of heaven to look forward to." Could you raise your hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I know it. Thank you. You may put them down. Does anyone say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to miss out on the glory of heaven." Pray for anyone like that. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Pray, anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Then one last thing, and I'll pray, and we'll close out. Maybe you're a Christian today, and you say, "Preacher, I've been discouraged. Pray for me. I've really been down. Pray that God will lift my heart up. I can be excited about the things of God. There's so much to be excited about." Who'd say, "Pray for me"? Yes, I see that. Yes, I see that hand. Include me. Yes, I see that hand. Who else? Include me in that prayer, Pastor. I'm really discouraged. Pray for me. Father, I thank you for the night. I thank you for what you are and who you are and what you've done and what you're going to do. And Father, all that the excitement, I'm waiting for just all what you're going to do in the future for us. I saw three or four hands go up. They were discouraged. Come down, Holy Spirit, minister to their heart. Lift up their heart. Help them to rejoice in the things of God. Help them to look to you to get that deep peace that only God can give within. Bless each one here, and I pray tomorrow will be a special day for them. Please bless our country. Help our country to look to you, I pray. Oh God, bless our armed services, men and women. Thank you for every one of them. Bless them.
Bless our president and all that are in authority. Watch over them. Help them make the right decisions. Help them to look to you, Father, for understanding and guidance. Please bless America, Father. Don't take your hand off her, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.